The vampire came to the bar just after the Yang Seven lights dimmed to a deeper blue to signify the onset of evening. She was tall, with the standard night-black hair and alabaster skin, but her clothes were unusual. No lace or leather, just practical gray-green combats, a loose-fitting, unbranded T-shirt, and a stay-clean jacket of pale blue. No tats, either. Another surprise, as was her smile. It had nothing of the cunning or predatory calculation they spent hours perfecting in the mirror. And yes, they do show up in mirrors. Gene splicing has its limits. There was an openness to it, extended canines notwithstanding. She took a seat at the bar, the tone of her greeting as bright as her smile. "Hi," I said, "I don't stock plasma or blood subs." There was the smallest twitch in her smile. "Water's fine. Sparkling or still. Whatever's cheapest." I met her gaze as I poured the water, not liking what I saw. Recognition. Please. Not another killer demon groupie. I noted a mark on the porcelain of her wrist, a faded pattern too heavily lasered to make out, but the size and location said a lot. Family sigil tattoo on the wrist. Second-generation vampire thing. She's probably older than I am. She sipped her water, eyes twinkling a little. She was happy to see me. "I don't do autographs," I said. "I'm not available for freelance employment, and I'm on sabbatical from Lorenzo City Police Department." She put down her water glass. "I know. I'm sorry to come here, but there wasn't anyone else." The jukebox roared to life, long, tall Sally raising the heads of the few sober patrons. The regulars barely noticed. It was a genuine Wurlitzer, payment for an old debt, intended to exercise a certain autonomy over when it chose to entertain my customers. One of my first management decisions when taking over the Heavenly Garden was to reverse the former owner's strict no-music policy, something I was beginning to regret. "That's very loud," the vampire said, wincing a little. I went over and kicked the Wurlitzer to silence, picking up Blue Nancy's empty glass for an unasked-for refill on the way back. "Lord'll reward you if and I don't, Inspector." I held the glass to the Kentucky Red Optic. It had become my bestseller since Joe procured me a palletful from his friend at the docks. "As I said," the vampire began. "As I said, I'm on sabbatical." I handed Blue Nancy her drink as she shambled to the bar. It's a polite way of saying they fired me but haven't filed the paperwork. I ran a cloth over where Nancy had spilt just a little before returning to her usual place by the long out-of-order pinball machine. "I run a bar," I told the vampire. "Demon days are over, Cornelia or Althea or whatever your fucked-in-the-head parents called you. Whatever it is, I can't help you." The smile hadn't gone completely, but she wasn't showing her teeth anymore. "Thomas DeMarco," she said. 10 months ago, you were the lead investigator." DeMarco. I didn't need to dig through too many memories. It had been a bad one, and unsolved. "Your relative?" I asked, thinking it unlikely. "No, just an interested party." She reached into her jacket, coming out with a cheap smart and placing it on the bar. I noticed her nails weren't overly long. No black enamel varnish, either. "All I ask is that you look at this." She eased herself off the barstool. "Contact details included if you want to talk some more." She gave me a final look. Oddly warm in its appraisal, given what a prick I was being, tapped her unvarnished nails on the bar, and left.